Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out?
It's time for Pet Files Ask the Vet, underwritten by the Millerson Veterinary Practice. Traditional small animal medicine and surgery, chiropractic, laser therapy, acupuncture, and Chinese herbal medicine. 518-789-3440, millersonvet.com. With us today, Dr. Carolyn Cannon, owner and chief vet at the Millerton Veterinary Practice. It's always a pleasure. Hello, Dr. Cannon.
Hello. Good morning. How are you?
I will not complain. That's the line for today.
Okay. I'll go with that.
Okay. All right. Iden in New Paltz. Sometimes on a hot day, I notice my labradoodle will pant at a much faster rate than usual. Fast, like if he were a person, he would be hyperventilating. He's healthy and not overweight. He's 6, but it looks wrong to me. And I don't remember him doing this when he was younger. Should I be concerned?
So we don't have his weight. His weight or his age here.
6.
Which can be a factor.
He's 6.
Pardon?
He's 6.
Oh, he is. Okay.
He
I
is
missed
6.
That.
But the other thing that's tricky is that she says he's not overweight, but that's not a number.
Okay, well, that's all right. I can imagine. Labradoodles come in all kinds of sizes. That's what I was sort of thinking, because the bigger dogs tend to pant more. But this is, I think, that very rapid panting that they get into in the summertime and after playing, especially. I think that it is, you know, if it's after playing and after exercise, it is a pretty normal thing as long as it's not lasting the whole day. The heat in the body has to do with the size of the dog. They have more trouble dissipating heat when they're bigger. The body mass is larger. And if the coat is a little bit long. So I have 2 dogs who get groomed regularly, and the coat length makes a huge difference in their comfort. And we have to remember that they don't dissipate heat well, as well as we do, through the skin by sweating. They're only able to really across the mouth and tongue, moving air in and out of the body, basically. If your air is cooler than your body, which usually it is, moving the air in can help to cool the surfaces of the respiratory tract, which is a much better heat exchanger than just the bottoms of their feet, you know, in the roof of the mouth and tongue. So it does help to dissipate heat. If you think your dog isn't too hot or hasn't been doing any exercise and isn't overweight and is still fairly young, then, you know, there are lung problems that can be possible. Eosinophilic bronchitis, infiltration of inflammatory cells, all to do usually with being allergic to something. But that very often comes along with a cough, especially with exercise, or you'll see some intolerance to exercise. Heart problems, too, usually come along with a cough, especially after your dog's been lying down. So it doesn't sound terribly abnormal to me, but if there's something compared to other dogs that your dog might be playing with, if there's something that's really alarming, definitely it's worth a vet visit to try to determine if it is an impending or a lung problem.
Yeah, we've been doing this show for a long, long time, and this is one of the first questions I can think of where it's like it really could be okay. Everything is lining up in this question. Sometimes on a hot day, her dog is super panty. Her big labradoodle is super panty.
So the doodle part, you know, and very often they have that thick, really dense coat. And if it grows into a half an inch or an inch, then they're insulated. You know, all that heat is staying inside.
Did you, this allows me to tell my very, very, very favorite first Shark Goodman story, and it will tell you how long ago it was because it was outside Tower Records, which hasn't been there in a long, long time, on 66th and Broadway in Lincoln Center in New York, decades, okay? And this guy who was living on the street walked up to me, because the very first Shark Goodman had basically poodle fur, had total doodle fur. And he said, "Excuse me, ma'am, is that a sheep?"
Yeah, they can look like sheep.
Yep. Well, he was also not petite. I hadn't gone through the dog Pritikin program yet. But he kind of did probably look like a sheep, depending on the color of your sheep. The sheep with the golden fleece.
Right.
But what I am curious about is long, speaking of New York things, way, way back, I forget what it was called, but of course it had a fancy name and it came with a fancy price tag. But pretty much everybody in a certain zip code or in certain zip codes were having their goldens shaved for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called something. And I just wondered if, how short would you clip a Labradoodle for the summer? And did that...
Very short, yeah, very short.
Okay.
It's always difficult. You have to plan ahead is the problem. And in COVID, none of the groomers are taking new clients, which is completely understandable. So you've got to plan ahead is the problem. And because then everyone wants their dog groomed and you can't get it done. So my advice is when you've got a dog that needs grooming, make your appointments for 6 months ahead. And that way your dogs don't get too hot, especially over the summer. So it can be difficult, but take them swimming, you know, take them to the river and let them get cooled off, so that they can run around or put out a kiddie pool too.
Right. No, we used to do that. We used to do that also, fountains, you know, fountains and fire hydrants.
Right. In the city. Yep.
Well, that's, but water is also good as your point. So that's,
right.
Helpful. All right. David and Bernetta in Millerton. We recently adopted our first dog, a Gordon Setter. Addie's a senior citizen, 15, and in most ways is a very good girl. However, although we were told she was perfectly house-trained, she started peeing inside the house shortly after we got her. She looks very guilty afterwards, and we suspect it's accidental. We haven't seen it happen in real time yet. How can we know if it's incontinence or a behavioral issue?
First of all, a big thank you to anyone who adopts a 15-year-old dog. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. These old dogs in situations where they are have been with a family and now are in a kennel type situation, or even with a foster parent, really stressful on them. And it's such a commitment to adopt an older dog. And so kudos to whoever is able to do that. So Addie is. So this is a great question because it's a common happening, and lots of things could be going on here if you're not witnessing it. So urinary incontinence more often happens when your dog is resting, and so you're going to find anywhere from a very small amount of urine to a very large amount of urine, usually where they sleep. So it's going to be on the bed, on the rug where they sleep, on the couch where they sleep, wherever it is that they're sleeping. The alternative is finding some urine on the floor where she might be just lying down for a while, and maybe getting up is a struggle. So if getting up is a struggle, that additional pressure can cause the bladder to empty a little bit when you're that age, not surprisingly. So that is a possibility. So if she looks guilty, she knows she's not supposed to do that, most likely she's not able to help doing it. And if she's asking to go out, would be something else that you have to keep in mind. At 15, she may not understand yet how to ask at your house to go out. Is she most dogs who know that they're not supposed to urinate in the house will kind of hide it somewhere. So if you're only finding urine on the floor in the spare bedroom where nobody goes, then likely she has a house training problem. Maybe she can't hold it and she doesn't understand where to go to ask to go out, in which case you need to block off all those areas until you understand how she's asking. And it may just be getting up and looking at you. So there's a lot to consider here. Try to put all of that together in thinking about... And then, of course, collecting a urine sample and bringing it to your vet, making an appointment with the vet is important. What the best sample is the first morning urine because it's been sitting there in the bladder for several hours overnight. So go out, and it's also easiest to catch first thing in the morning. If you go out with her with a clean container and put it under her when she squats, dogs who are uncomfortable with that container, seeing the container, usually they can't stop peeing first thing in the morning. They can't just stop and walk away. So it's the best time to collect it, and it's the best sample.
I know someone, just as a side, who's having a terrible problem because the dog gets out. It is the first thing. Dog gets out ahead of her, and she's going head over.
Yes,
down the steps.
You have to keep them on a short leash.
Yeah, I know. I always thought the boys were hard. I always thought, well, the girls would be easier. I rarely. Yeah. It's this is not true.
No. Right, because you have to get that.
You
got to
get it under there and
just them,
not,
and they look at you as if to say, "What are you doing?"
Yeah. Yeah.
So it can be difficult, but I think that and the other thing to watch for, of course, is increased thirst. So many senior dogs will have increased thirst for a number of reasons, either compromised kidneys, an occult, sometimes urinary tract infection. They don't show the symptoms as strongly when they're more deficient as seniors, or something like Cushing's disease will cause an increase in water consumption. And if you've already got some bladder control and now you're drinking a lot of water, it can be really difficult to hold on to that urine. It may come on her all of a sudden that she has to pee, and she gets up and there it goes. So all of those things put together means lots of vigilance in trying to catch what's going on.
And then once you've sort of put that together,
present it to your veterinarian.
Yeah, and you'll get a better idea. No, that's
all
very constructive. And I want to add my props, because when you get to be a senior citizen, you definitely want to be in a comfortable situation.
Absolutely, somebody taking care of things. For
of
you.
Things, yes, and you know, they're such creatures of habit, and my kingdom for a routine, basically. And it's not the same coming out of a house, as much loved as you are, even in a foster home. It's just not the same thing. It's just not even close.
Right.
So it's a good thing. Kathy and Hudson, or it could be Jill. I feel for her. I have mice in my apartment. It's not a voluntary situation, to say the least. I'm completely horrified to know they've been walking around on my kitchen countertops. But when I was a kid, my brother and I used to keep mice as pets, and we handled them and petted them all the time. As far as the risk of disease goes, is there any difference between house mice and pet mice? Am I overreacting now, or were my brother and I gross for having pet mice?
Well, lots of us had pet mice when we were kids. For me, it was a very long time ago, being a kid, sort of in a different time when people didn't worry about getting sick from pet mice. We didn't worry. We didn't eat so much processed food. We had good, really good immune systems, and we just didn't worry about that kind of thing. And so I had pet everything, mice, hamsters, gerbils, etc.
So you did. You went long rodents, huh?
Rodents and birds and dogs and cats, yeah.
And horses.
And the pony, yeah, absolutely.
And Toto, too.
Mice can carry all kinds of things that are zoonotic to people that people can catch and in their feces, et cetera. So you can get salmonella. You can get listeriosis. I think you can get leptospirosis, although I'm sure it's carried in rats. Hantavirus.
Hanta is one of my favorites.
Lymphocytic chorioamnengitis are the things that come to mind for the Northeast anyway. Plague is in the West. So there are lots of things potentially. Plague, of course, is carried by the fleas from mice. But, the thing to do, I guess, is to be practical about it and vacuum up the feces. I used to have mice when we had an interim where we didn't have cats, or we only had one really old cat who wasn't catching any mice, and we had some mice coming into the drawer that I use for, baggies and things like that. And so, you want to get after the with the mouse traps and whatever you can do to get rid of the mice. So you need to kind of find out how they're coming in, and here I am giving advice on practical advice on killing animals, right?
The mousetrap thing, I used to live, again, even more decades ago than, excuse me, ma'am, is that a sheep, above a spice market. So needless to say, there was quite a lot of activity. and somebody once put out traps, and then the sound of that just ruined me for life.
Yes.
So
absolutely,
I'm a big lever.
But if you get a cat, you don't have to deal with it. So
let's go with cat.
Now that I have cats, now that I have young cats, they are. They do a great job, and I don't even hear the mice anymore in the walls or anything. They've
pretty much cleaned you out. That's
they
good.
They do. They do a great job.
My former Denison was a great. He just thought they were the entertainment. So he'd spend all night
playing with them.
Yeah. All right. So get a cat. So Kathy and Hudson get a cat. Is that what you're saying?
So I guess my point too is that potentially these creepy things that are contagious to people, and you would just have to think more about what is your susceptibility? Do you have reliance, or what? Do you have any faith in your immune system? You know, be practical. And have faith in your immune system and keep it healthy with good food. And that's my soapbox.
All right. Well, that's a good one. And do keep eating good food and rescue older pets. And here's one that's pretty much out of the same area of questioning. And this is Shantae in Newburgh. From the time my Doxy was a puppy, she's always been a major licker. She should meet my spaniel. Anyone who leans down to say hi gets their face cleaned. Sally has a weakness for feet in sandals, too. So does the spaniel. But here's the thing. It's 2020. So when she's off-leash and she runs up to a stranger wearing shorts and starts licking their bare legs or whatever, I have to wonder if there's a risk of her bringing COVID-19 germs home with her. Does dog saliva neutralize bacteria, or do I have to keep Sally on a tight leash until the pandemic is over?
So following that, thinking about that, I think that the danger with licking, with oral consumption of virus, would be to her. So what is the incidence of COVID-19 in dogs? Super, super low, if at all. And apparently the pets that they found, of course, we all know this because we've talked about this before, the pets that they found who have come up positive have all been living with, my understanding is living with or have a lot of exposure to
someone
who's
already
have
had
been
it.
Sick,
right.
Right.
It doesn't look like it's something that they are getting and bringing.
Right. So if people are out walking and hiking with shorts on and so forth, they may not be shedding a lot of virus. But in any case, I would be more concerned about their hands petting your dog and their sneezing on your dog type of thing if you're going to let them, let her be close to them. So you might just want to keep her close to you.
But not because of leg licking.
Not because of leg licking, right.
And
right.
That's just an overall thing now with the situation, because there's so much, having nothing to do with leg licking, there's just so much information, and a lot of people have rolled their own about what they are comfortable doing. And so what's important to know about this virus is that it's mostly it's transmitted respiratorily, so to speak. And so what you don't want is someone who you don't know petting or reaching down, or as you said,
right.
Sneezing or coughing, or
yes, if someone's just coughed in their hand or sneezed in their hand, and then that you come around the corner and they see, and she approaches them and they pet her top of her head, and then she comes right back to you and you pet the top of her head. Who's to say it's just like touching a railing?
Yeah, that someone's just
so right. So those are the kinds of things that I would be more concerned about than her catching it
by licking someone's toes,
getting it to you
right
through the mouth.
All right. All right, and it just is there any? We always called this particular spaniel the lotionier, because if you put on anything ranging from deodorant to anything, she just thinks that's just it's like Christmas.
And she wants to lick it all off.
All of it.
Yeah.
All
probably
of it.
Not so good for her.
Probably. And I think that you're now young women, but at one point children, were beneficiary, shall we say, of her attentions. Mm-hmm. So, which meant at least that the products that they were using weren't so terrible. But my question, is there any way to stop a licker from licking, or is it just something you learn to live with?
You know, I think that they understand if you don't want them to do it.
Well, I understand that, too. What right. I'm curious about the initial impulse. Like, what, is it smell? Is it taste? Is it salt? Is it...
And I don't know the answer to that. I think that dogs who are a lot about food and are about, you know, anything that might be food, they're connected kind of and interested in those different smells, especially if they have, you know, coconut oil or...
Right, something, some natural food stuff in there. Just,
exactly.
That's a really good point. Hadn't even... All right. Well, you get extra points for being a veterinarian on top of the points you get for being smart. All right. Kelsey in Pittsfield, my boyfriend and I just got a kitten. We got Henry when he was 9 weeks old. He just turned 3 months. He's a very happy kitty, but no matter how many times a day he gets to eat, he's always screaming for food. My boyfriend says it's because he's so skinny. It's true that no matter how much Henry eats, he stays super thin. We want to know why he's always hungry. We feed him wet food for kittens, by the way.
So that's great that he's eating wet food. I think that's a wonderful thing. So it just really comes down to how rapidly he's growing, whether he has intestinal parasites, and how really thin is super thin. So kittens will look really lean as long as their ribs don't stick out. It's hard to tell if you've got a long-haired kitten, though. Then they're supposed to be really lean. They also will think that they're hungry all the time and probably shouldn't be fed more frequently, but maybe just a greater amount. So a 3-month-old kitten should be fed 3 times a day, certainly. And so it's kind of, number one, at 3 months, you should have had at least one vet visit and probably a deworming and or stool sample. So if you're sure that the kitty doesn't have any parasites because he's been dewormed, then they grow super rapidly, and they certainly do seem really hungry. I've raised 2 boy kitties in the past year and a half, and yeah, I know they would constantly beg for food, especially if they're not getting a lot of carbohydrates. So I think that the canned food is best for them to get used to and accustomed to. They certainly eat a much higher volume of canned than dry. So check with your veterinarian. Depending on how much you're feeding, you may not be feeding enough at this point. Because most canned food, most of the biggest ingredient in canned food is water, of course, water broth. And so, which is wonderful.
Which is why you want to feed that. Exactly. It's something that people don't know enough about, in fact. But that's why. Because
yes.
Cats are not the best water drinkers for, they can't consume enough water that their body.
Right.
Or as
right.
I often say, gee, do you think that piece of prey, had kibble in it?
Right. And I was feeding a very, and I'm still feeding a very low carbohydrate, you know, pretty high meat canned food. And I think that my boys were eating probably 9 ounces of food a day when they were 3.5, 4 months old. They eat a lot of food. And then it slows down as they reach their adult weight. But that's not until after they're neutered, probably. And, you know, that's not until that they get to be 9, 10 months old. So it's kind of a tough question to answer. The parasite issue is the first thing to take note of. And so if your kitty has not been dewormed, and even if the stool sample has come back negative and he's eating an inordinate amount of food, then deworming would be indicated, in my opinion.
Well, you did it. Thank you very much, Dr. Cannon. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
This has been Pet Files Ask the Vet, underwritten by the Millerton Veterinary Practice, 518-789-3440, millertonvet.com. Who let the